told her we'd still be friends.
Then we made our true love vow.
Wonder what she is doing now. Summer dreams ripped at seams. But those
And good evening, everyone. Welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam. I am, and who?
Nooch, baby. We're back.
Nooch is back in the studio with me. Can't wait. I've been very excited, not going to lie.
Me too.
Dude, I missed you, man.
I missed you, dude. I did. I really did.
Well,
I'm really bummed that I wasn't on last week's show. I want to apologize to our listeners. I know that the Niner talk's just not the same without those. I know Sammy killed it, but you know.
Yeah,
I was disappointed. I missed. I have a lot to talk about, but
we had
save
a long,
that for another show.
I had a long talk to myself last week about the Niners. Almost cried. Listeners knew that I almost cried too. Came very close of crying.
I can imagine.
Okay, please don't remind me.
I know. I'm sorry.
Please don't remind me.
Shouldn't even brought it up.
So, Nooch.
Yep.
On tonight's show,
yeah,
we're not going to talk about the Niners because I know we've talked about the Niners a lot. We're gonna send it over across the bay.
Let's do it.
To Oaktown, Oakland. We're going to be talking about the Golden State Warriors tonight. How do you like it?
I love it.
Good.
I love it.
Good. So tonight's show, we're going to give you a recap of the Warriors' win against the Sacramento Kings a couple days ago.
Which always feels good.
Love beating the Kings.
The Queens, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Then we will get into the two most important players that we got last year, in my eyes, on the Golden State Warriors team. You can think about it now.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll have an answer for you. All
right. And then I will also give you a preview of the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors game tonight. That tips off at 7:15 at Golden State Warriors.
Okay. 7:30. Yeah.
7:30. All right. And then later in the show, we'll get into the Sharks and...
Sharkies.
Their win against the Columbus Blue Jackets, huge win, an outstanding offensive performance.
It was.
Finally, for the Sharks.
Hey, Sharks, second half team.
Let's do it.
Second half team. I'm talking about half season. Obviously, I know there's quarters.
We're in first place right now. So as bad as our offense is playing, and we're still in first, but just wait till our offense starts.
We're gonna talk about this. Yeah. So I'm not gonna get into it, but yeah, exactly. We'll talk about it.
And then I have some sad news about the Golden State Warriors and their crew staff at the Oracle Arena.
Sad story.
Very sad. So stay tuned to a great show of the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to DJ Sam I Am and Nooch.
We're back, baby.
piece out the love that I am. Now you go somewhere else far away. I don't know if I will find you.
Find you, find you.
But you feel my breath on your neck. Can't believe I'm right behind you.
Right behind you.
But you keep me coming back for more. And I feel a little better than I did before. If I never see your face again, I don't mind. Cause we got much further than I thought we'd get tonight. Baby, baby, please believe me. Fight it in your heart to reach me. Promise not to leave me behind.
Promise not to leave me behind.
Take me down, but take it easy. Make me think, but don't deceive me. Torture me by taking your time. Cause you
And welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to DJ Sam I Am and Nooch.
Yep.
So before we get into Warriors, I know everyone's just waiting for us to talk about the Warriors. Aren't you? Yeah, okay. All right. So
I'm waiting to talk about the Warriors.
So anyway, I have to talk about this free informational seminar that is presented by the nonprofit Sea Turtle Restoration Project. And it's explaining new federal rules protecting sea turtle habitat offshore in California.
Awesome.
The seminar title is The Leatherback Sea Turtle Critical Habitat. It's the largest protected area for sea turtles in the U.S.
Wow.
And has just been established. But do these new federal rules mean for California's... Or what do these new federal rules mean for California's boater fishermen and offshore industries? Dr. Chris Pincetich with the Sea Turtle Restoration Project is presenting this free seminar to answer this question and more. Every year, leatherbacked sea turtles migrate across the Pacific Ocean to feed on jellyfish in the waters. Along the west coast of the U.S., seaturtles.org was a key player in encouraging the National Marine Fisheries Service to declare these foraging grounds as federally protected critical habitat for endangered leatherbacks. So if you guys want to tune into that, that seems very interesting. It is on February 29th, 2012, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., and it's at the Bay Model Visitor Center, and the address to that is 2100, that's 2100 Bridgeway in Sausalito, California, 94965. Sounds very interesting, huh, Nooch?
Does. I think I might go.
You want to go together?
We could.
We should go together.
You know, the Bay Model is actually a really cool place.
Have you been there before?
I have, actually, yeah.
Really?
It is, yeah. It's a, you know, two-scale model of the bay. It's pretty cool.
It's in Sausalito?
It's in Sausalito, yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm from the other side of the Golden Gate. I don't really venture over here much. If you know
except
what I mean.
Except to go to school and live, right?
What?
Except to go to school and live.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I don't have a car. Like, I can't ride it. All right, anyway.
I feel it.
Anyway. Okay. So, back to the Warriors talk, yeah?
Yep.
Let's
do it.
Against the Sacramento Kings.
The Queens, yep.
Sacramento Queens. God, I keep getting that wrong today for some reason. It's funny.
No, that was a good one for him, definitely.
It was.
Especially for a struggling team, you know. Any win right now is good. Any win feels good. Especially when it's, I mean, Warriors-Kings always got a little rivalry there, you know.
Yeah. Well,
it's always been there.
It's all about that kind of West Coast rivalry too, you know. Like, and it's with both sports. The Warriors against the Sacramento Kings. And then it's the San Jose Sharks with the Los Angeles Kings.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's just being that, I mean, especially with the Sacramento Kings, just being that close, you know.
Uh-huh.
It creates, right? You got some of your friends who are Kings fans, you know, so it's always nice to talk smack to your friends. And, you know, it's always, I love when the Warriors beat the Kings. I got a list of friends I got to go talk to, you know.
Exactly. So. My ex-girlfriend was a Kings fan.
Oof.
No wonder it worked.
No wonder it didn't work out.
No wonder,
right?
There's an X in front of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so star of the game, and this is my number one person that I want to talk about.
Okay.
who is the number one acquisition, not number one, but top two, definitely, acquisitions of the Golden State Warriors. Name is Brandon Rush, Kansas Jayhawk.
Yeah, that was a good pickup. I agree.
That dude off the bench is outstanding. And I love him, man.
That's the most important part. That's what you just, you know, off the bench. When was the last time we had a good player coming off the bench?
And when was
honestly
like
a decent player who could actually give us something, you know,
and
coming off the bench.
And a really cool thing to add to that is our bench this year. We have maybe one person on the bench that's the same as last year.
Yeah.
Everyone's new. They just cleared house, cleared coach. Everyone's new. And I love that. I love that. I love it. I love it. I love
it. Me too.
I love it.
I think that they even need to maybe do a little more work personally. But, you know, you also got to remember, we are the youngest team in the league.
Second youngest. Kings, I think. Kings. Right. Kings.
We'll have to look that one up. First or second youngest team in the league.
I think I'm almost 98% sure because I saw it on Sports Illustrated. Said Kings like starting five, his average age is like 25.
I think I'm talking whole team.
Though. No, I know. Okay, but okay. I think throughout the whole team too. I think we're just a little older, but like not by much.
Yeah, no.
You know?
Either way. I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, we're the youngest team in the league, or second youngest, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
First year coach.
Who's never had a coach. I got into that
NBA,
last week, too.
First year, any coach.
Any coach of any sort of sport.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
You know, brand new owners. So it's like, okay, you know, like, I'm not upset that we're, what are we, like, 7-12. 7-12. I'm not upset we're 7-12, you know. You got to expect it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. So I'm really not I'm actually happy where we are right now. I'm liking the young players. You know, we got some young players playing well.
For me, you know, if we're not in last, I'm pumped on it because we didn't even know if there was going to be an NBA season to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know, every player is mentally not there on the off season. So everyone has a crappy off season. We have a brand new coach. Off season's not there.
Yeah.
You can't expect much, you know?
No.
You can't, like you said, love it. So Brandon Rush had 15 of his 20 points in the fourth quarter, including one stretch in which he hit 3 3-pointers in a 2-minute span.
Clutch.
That's what I love. He just is clutch on that 3-point shot.
God, dude, you can't teach clutch, you know?
Exactly. Rush entered that game tied for the league lead in 3-point percentage at 57.1%.
Wow.
So we picked this guy up. He's tied in league in field goal percentage.
This year's Jarrell Wright.
Huge. And I love Brandon Rush. He's cool. I always liked him, actually, in college too. And when he came out of college, when I would play like NBA Live and stuff, I would always want to draft Brandon Rush. Because I loved, he was always a great 3-point shooter, solid player, and he was cool.
Yep. And hey, you know, he was like a 6th or 7th sixth or seventh pick in the draft in whatever year that was, 06 or whenever he came out, you know?
So he's a solid player. I feel like he never got a chance when he was in the NBA.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, we also don't see behind the scenes, you know? So
he
could have been dogging that practice. We don't know, you know?
We have no idea, really.
But he's this year's Jarrell Wright.
And it.
Tearing it up.
We totally forgot to tell the fans the score of the game. It was a 93-90 victory. So it was a close game.
It should have been the last couple minutes of that game were it was Warrior basketball, you know.
Exactly.
That's what we're young.
Exactly.
And Sam, we know this from firsthand experience, you know. How young were we this year in soccer?
Oh.
Young. What was our biggest problem?
Finishing games.
Teams, you know.
Exactly.
It's just young teams. They got it.
It really is.
We're gonna grow. Both teams. You know, we're gonna get better. It's gonna be all right.
So, what gave us that 3-point victory was that the stretch in the final period where, I mean, our bench played the whole fourth quarter. Really, Mark Jackson had the bench in most of the fourth quarter.
He's been doing that.
Yeah,
a lot.
I mean, I like it.
Why not?
Why not? And the Warriors held the Kings scoreless for the first 5:17 of the fourth quarter.
Wow.
So that's defense right there. And I mentioned this in last show. You didn't get a chance to talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark Jackson had an interview, and he was saying how much he's changing the identity, people at Oracle and stuff, and our defense is what wins us. I mean, 5-17 in the final period, that never happens with the Warriors.
Yeah.
We never not give up points.
You know, he's taking the Jim Harbaugh strategy.
The Bay Area.
I had to drop one Niner reference. Yeah. I had to. I couldn't help myself.
One Niner reference. It's okay. It's okay. And, of course, like we said, the bench again.
Yep.
Is just
playing well.
Just playing out. Lights out. And
pushing it, lights out, but
okay, yeah. I mean, if they were lights out, we'd be tied with the LA Clippers.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're a lot better. I think we have more depth than we've had in previous years. You know,
definitely. And we're gonna get a great draft pick hopefully this year. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we get a high one.
Why? So you're hoping for losses?
Well, I'm not hoping for losses.
Well, that's what that entails.
I'm hoping for us to play well. And then I'm hoping for us to win the lottery and get a number 3, number 4 pick.
Okay.
And pick up.
There we go. Okay.
And pick up some star college athlete. That's what I want.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
clear the air there.
Yep.
All right. And then the second person I want to talk about on the team, who's one of my favorite players, Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson, man. Dude. Electric. Electric.
That dude is in the perfect place to play basketball.
Hey, how about another great bench player? Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson, right off the bench. New acquisition. He's been doing great backing up Stephen Curry because he's been hurt.
Yeah, Steph needs a little break.
Yeah, poor guy with his iffy ankle. But Nate Robinson, he's undersized. Yeah. I was kind of worried when we picked him up,
he's
not gonna lie.
He's been undersized his whole life.
Yeah, no. And I'm not gonna lie, I was a little worried just because I don't know.
That's understandable though, you know.
You know, but he has turned out to be a great acquisition.
Yeah,
absolutely great. Like
he's a spark. You know, a lot of times, a lot of nights, he's a spark.
What game? It was the Heat game.
I was at that game.
You were at that game.
Yes.
You're killing me. Yes. You're killing me. You're at the game.
Yep.
Dude, that
crazy game.
I was watching that game with my papa.
Yeah.
In the living room.
Mm-hmm.
I was going nuts, dude. Nate Robinson literally willed his team back in that game in the third quarter.
How boring were the first 2.5 quarters of that game?
Oh, my God.
Awful. No, and then
literally
Nate just comes alive, hits a three, makes
it. At halftime, my dad went to bed. I was like, oof, I don't know. I think I might go to bed. But I was like, you know what? The Heat are notorious for just slacking off in the second quarter or the second half, doing nothing after they get like they did a couple days ago.
Yeah. They get a big lead.
LeBron gets 24 against the Bucks. Yeah. LeBron gets 24 in the first quarter. They're up 40 and they end up losing.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. But anyway, yeah. Nate Robinson, he hits the threes, gets the crowd into it. And when you get the crowd into it at Oracle, it's a whole new.
It's one of the loudest buildings in the NBA. It's got to be.
Easily.
It's got to be. Yeah, that place. It was dead silent, though. It literally was dead silent for 3.5 quarters, 4 quarters.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, once we started to come alive there and Nate started to hit some shots, it was like, it just kept escalating.
Nate hit the couple at the top of the key, and then Durrell hit 3 in a row in like a 3-minute span or something.
Yeah.
And I had goosebumps. I wish I was there, dude, because I had goosebumps at home listening to the crowd just erupt on these shots.
Yeah, no.
And just the deep.
It was awesome. It was cool. It was a good experience.
That's
good
awesome.
Warrior experience.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
So back to Robinson. In 13 games, he has 10.8 points per game and 4.9 assists per game. Not bad.
Not bad. No, not at all.
And interesting. The offense, the Warriors are actually ranked 3rd in the NBA in assists this year right now.
Really?
At the point. They're averaging 22.7 assists.
Oh, that's awesome.
Not bad.
No, that's a good statistic.
I love assists.
Definitely.
Even in any sport.
It means you're moving the basketball. You know, it's in any sport. You move the ball, you know, good things happen.
My parents always told me it is all about the assist rather than the goal. I mean, the goal's never going to come if you don't have the perfect assist, you know?
No, yeah.
That's always how I thought and how my family thought. So I love the assists. I always look at the dope pass before the cool shot, you know?
Definitely.
That's what I'm always looking for.
The finishing, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
That's the easy part.
Yeah, that's the easy part. and he has not been bad since he's only averaging 24.8 minutes per game. So 10 points in 24 minutes, not bad at all. For Nate Robinson, I'll take that any day of the definitely. Week. So the Warriors finish up their six-game homestand tonight against the Utah Jazz.
God, I hate the Jazz.
I know.
Hate them.
I hate the Jazz, too.
As you notice, I've hated a lot of teams. If you're not a team I like, I pretty much hate you.
No,
so.
The Jazz, though, the Jazz get under my skin.
No, me too.
Since that playoff run, dude, just the Utah, that whole state of Utah, too, is just gets under my skin just a little bit.
It does.
And, you know, to help me make me feel better, I seriously watch once a month the Baron Davis dunk on Karolinko on YouTube. And I'll watch that for a good 10 minutes straight just because of how much.
That was unreal, that dunk.
Dude, I still get goosebumps on the announcers in the crowd and just.
That was unreal. That dunk was one of the best. One of the best I've ever seen.
It was so just in. If you haven't seen the video in a long time, we're gonna play the video in the studio. You guys need to play the video because the reactions of his teammates, Matt Barnes's reaction, and then Steven Jackson's fan and Baron, his shirts up and everyone's just screaming.
That was awesome.
Dude, that it's just priceless basketball right there. That was and the whole stands are just yellow.
The Belief shirts.
Dude, I love NBA playoffs, to be honest. I love NBA playoffs.
Especially when your team's in it.
Exactly.
You know? Especially when your team's in it. I like any playoff one, you know, but I know it's a shame. Definitely. I agree.
You know what else I was getting goosebumps about?
What's that?
I kept watching the video of the Vernon Davis touchdown catch against the Saints.
That one's sick, too.
Dude, I love that one. I almost cried today when I watched the video. Not gonna lie.
I almost cry every time I watch that video. I've watched it too many. I didn't look at any highlights or redo anything for like 2 days after.
I feel like I've been crying a lot lately.
Why is that? Just because Niners and
I don't know.
You want to talk about something else? We want to change the name of the show.
No, we'll talk about it. Break. We'll talk about it. Break, man. We'll talk about it. Break. Regardless of what happens, it's going to be a disappointing stretch for the Warriors.
Definitely.
If the Warriors win, they'll end up 3-3. And if they lose, they'll end up 3-4 on a 6-game homestand. You're not doing anything in the Western Conference if you're going .500 at home on a 6-game homestand, you know?
Yeah, no.
And then our last 10 of 15 games are on the road. So it's not getting any easier.
Yeah, All-Star break's right around the corner, yeah?
Exactly.
Wow.
It's coming up soon.
That's a short season.
I mean, it's already February 2nd.
Yeah, but.
It's fast. Yep, January went by fast. So what the Warriors really need in this game against the Jazz is Steph Curry to step up. Because Steph has been a roller coaster this season with healthy, unhealthy, good game, worst game of his career. Yeah. Like, he's had some bad games this
year. Terrible games. But he's also had some really good games, you know?
And I just can't wait for him to grow up a little bit. And he's just going to have – once he gets the consistency – of just playing every day in the NBA and being able to stay fit and stay healthy.
Yep.
He's going to be such a good point guard.
I know.
He already
is, and he shows that, you know,
dude,
like
I'm knocking on wood already, okay? Knocking on wood.
There you go.
Dude, I see the Warriors trading Steph Curry and Monte Ellis sometime in the future. I see it. It's what the Warriors do.
I don't know if you noticed, but Monte's been playing well, you know, but there's some games where he's having some turnovers and taking some shots where I'm just like,
he's not in it, dude.
Monte, what are you doing?
He's
you
know, not in like, it, dude. Dude,
and they're not even close. They're like air balls or
well,
like,
I mean, there's been a lot of trade rumors of the Warriors just throwing Monte to any team.
Yeah.
I mean, there was rumors that they were going to throw Monte to Chicago Bulls to get Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
There was rumors that they're going to throw Monte over to Orlando to get Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
They had talks to just Monte going everywhere.
I know.
And it's like, you can't be playing well if you're coach and your GM and everyone in the office is saying, yeah, well, we're going to throw you anywhere because we need a big man. So just stick around for a while.
Yeah.
You know, there's no trust. No trust.
I know. And the worst part is Monte wants to be, he wants to be in Oakland, you know?
Exactly.
He's got the tattoo on his back. You know?
No, he loves Oakland. This is where he.
You don't get that if you don't want to be.
And Oakland
in that place
loves
to be
on that
Monte,
team. Too. That's the thing.
The fans do.
Love Monte.
I'm sure the organization does too, but And we don't even know how much it is that the Warriors actually, you know, come out and say, oh yeah, we're thinking about trading Monte, or just the media just blowing that up, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true. Because to be honest,
you gotta take that into consideration.
Because to
be
honest, Joakim, there's no way the Chicago Bulls are trading Joakim Noah.
No.
The Chicago Bulls are first team in the in the East.
Yeah.
And Joakim Noah is their only center right now, and he's all team first defensive. Yeah. Let's just get rid of him for a guard
for Monte,
you know?
You already got Derrick Rose.
Dwight Howard does not want to go anywhere to the Bay. He's already said his four teams that he wants to go to.
So it could all just be rumors. Yeah.
That just everyone's just throwing out there on the internet. Because that's where I found it, on the internet.
Yeah.
Nothing on TV, it was on the internet.
Yeah, no, I heard it on the radio, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll get back into the Utah Jazz in the preview of that game. Got a couple more points to go over. And then, of course, later tonight, we will get into the Sharks talk.
Sharkies.
Can't wait. Stay tuned to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam I Am and Nooch at the Power Hour. Breaking news at the bottom of the hour. Solomon Kahn, the resident DJ for the Golden State Warriors home games and known to club owners as DJ Solomon, was tragically killed Tuesday in a car accident while touring in Bangkok, Thailand. SF Weekly first reported the news. He was 34 years old, and according to a family friend, Kahn was with his fiancée, Nicole Cronin, when their taxi stalled on a highway and was rear-ended. Cronin reportedly sustained several fractures, but is not in critical condition. Kahn grew up in San Rafael and attended Marin Academy for high school. Stay tuned for more Power Hour at radio.dominican.edu. I'm reaching for you. Are you feeling it too? Does the feeling seem oh so right?
say if I call on you now and said that I can't hold on? There's no easy way. It gets harder each day. Please love me or I'll be gone. I'll be gone. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I know you were right, believing for so long. Say that I was so wrong.
What are you thinking of?
What are you thinking of?
What are you thinking of?
What are you thinking of? I'm so lost without you. I know you were right, believing for so long. I'm all out of love. What am I without you? I can't be too late. I know I was so wrong. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I know you were right, believing for so long. I'm all out of love. What am I without you? I can't be too late.
Just a little impaired, I know. Right right now you don't care, but soon enough you're gonna think of me and how I used to be.
Who's back? Back, back, back. What's up? Welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam. I am a Nooch at the Power Hour.
Yup.
So
back.
When we left off, we were talking about the Warriors, and they were playing the Utah Jazz in about an hour.
Yeah, about an hour from now.
Little less than an hour from now. And I just wanted to mention the key thing for the Warriors tonight is the turnovers. I mean, as we mentioned before, we are a young team, but it really is all about the turnovers. And if we can limit the turnovers, we're normally pretty dang good.
Yeah.
But if we turn the ball over, we're normally pretty dang bad.
Doesn't this sound familiar?
Yeah, it's weird.
I feel like we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we definitely have. So the Warriors had 18 turnovers against Indiana, and they lost. They had 24 turnovers against Memphis. And they lost. They had 11 turnovers against Portland, and they won. But they had 20 turnovers against Oklahoma City, and they lost. But they only had 8 turnovers against Sacramento, and guess what happened?
They won.
Yeah,
that's
buddy.
A great stat right there. That's good.
That's good, right? I mean, yeah, just I don't turn the ball over. That's all.
Yeah. No, it's.
I mean, easier
right
said
there.
Than done.
It says
easier
right there. Easy. Mean, you can't argue with those. You
yeah.
Know?
That's, yeah, exactly. You can't argue with the numbers. They're right here in front of my face.
I mean, looking right at them.
Exactly. So the Jazz won the earlier meeting between the two teams this season, and it was 88-87. The game was also at Golden State, but we didn't have Curry because Curry was at his ankle.
Yeah,
all that ankle
problems.
Stuff. So,
a lot of those.
That was on January 7th. But they've been held under 90 points in each of their last 3 road games against the Warriors. The Utah Jazz. So that's good.
That's good.
That means our defense is pretty stout against.
Gonna be ready to play.
Yep,
definitely.
It'll be a good game. I can't wait. I think we always. The Jazz Warriors games are always good.
They are.
No matter what Jazz team is there. Because the past, like, the Jazz have been all over the place personnel wise the past couple years, huh?
Yeah, they got rid of Sloan last year, which Jerry Sloan, which is.
Yeah. And I just feel like this year, like, they're just a different team. Like,
they are.
They have Josh Howard now. They're a lot
Jefferson.
Younger. They have Brandon Bass now, don't
Bass.
They? Yeah. It's just a different team. Yeah. So before tonight's game, though, the Jazz have played just 6 road games this season, and that's the fewest in the NBA. So, and they're right now in 5th place in the Western Conference.
Yeah, but exactly. You said it right
exactly.
there. They've only played five
exactly.
games
so
on the road.
Just wait,
so.
Baby. Just wait till they start still
you know,
getting their hard part
zone.
Of the schedule. Yeah, exactly. Gordon Hayward.
The
white guy,
yep,
Gordon Hayward.
Yep. From Butler.
He scored a team high 18 points in the prior meeting.
Really?
Between the teams, yeah.
Not bad.
He just scored only 8 total points in his first 4 career games against Golden State. So he just had some lucky game, really. That's what that says to me. He's getting better. Because I've actually been seeing Gordon Hayward on ESPN SportsCenter.
Yeah. I've actually
as of
seen,
late.
I've seen him play some good games.
Yeah. He's not bad. He's from Butler, right? Is that
Butler? Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember he took Butler all the way to the championship? Uh-huh.
Yep. That's yeah. the yeah. He's
were
good.
Where they got beat by who? Was it Kansas?
Butler and Kansas.
Kansas, right? Yeah.
Because Butler was the underdog and Kansas was the number one seed. I think.
Yeah. I think it was like.
I think they
one.
Were the number one. Yeah. Monte Ellis has averaged just 9.7 points on 27.9% shooting from the field over his last three games. I almost threw up when I just said that sentence. That is disgusting numbers right there.
You don't hear that very often.
But he is averaging 33.5 points in his last two contests against the Jazz. That made me throw up. That made me swallow my throw up. So I threw up in my mouth and then just swallowed it.
Yeah, there you go.
I know everyone just wants to know.
That's gross.
Darrell Wright has scored in double figures. Darrell Wright has scored in double figures in 9 of his last 10 games after reaching 10 points in just twice. Just twice in his first 8 games this season. So wow. Darrell Wright's feeling it. Nate Robinson's feeling it. Brandon Rush is feeling it.
Let's keep it rolling.
Monte, not so much.
Let's keep that train rolling. Let's stop turning the ball over, you know?
Dude, but
we'll be in business.
All we have to do is make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. That's it, though.
Because, if you make the playoffs, anything could happen.
I know.
But
that's a pretty tough task in the
West.
But
making the playoffs is like...
I mean, it's a tough task
It's near to impossible.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll take a very, very, very short break because we want to keep rolling to get into the San Jose Sharks. So don't go anywhere. This is the Power Hour radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam I Am and Nooch. Please don't go anywhere.
And we're back at the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam. I am in Nooch.
We're back
to talk about the Sharks.
Sharkies.
So what do you want to talk about first? Their Columbus Blue Jackets game? Or do you want to talk about Niger Morgan?
Let's talk about the game real quick.
Okay, game real quick, and then we'll get into Niger, because I like talking about Niger.
Yeah, I know. Niger's his character.
He is. I like him a lot. Anyway, so Sharks and Blue Jackets game on Tuesday was at HP Pavilion. Really wasn't a hockey game. It was more of a boxing match, if anyone saw it. Or actually, at least the third period was more of a boxing match. Really fun game to watch if you're a Sharks fan. If you're from Columbus, Ohio.
Sorry about it.
Sorry. So anyway, obviously San Jose won 6-0.
6-0.
And smashed. Even before it got that out of hand, the game was chippy. There were big hits. I mean, it started early in the first 20 seconds of the game. Jared Bull from the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah, you know him. He's good. That guy's good.
Oh, yeah. That guy's good. Yeah. Dude's
awesome. He just high hits Joe Thornton in the first 20 minutes or 20 seconds. And you know that game. You're hitting Joe Thornton in the first 20 seconds of the game.
Yeah.
You know the Sharks are
starting
coming.
Something.
Yeah,
you know?
The Sharks are coming. Not in HP Pavilion, bud.
Yeah, exactly.
The match featured 92 combined penalty minutes.
Wow. That is so many penalty minutes.
Isn't it?
That's unreal.
Think
about that. That's so many penalty.
So it's 20-minute periods.
Yeah.
60-minute game, technically.
Mm-hmm.
92-minute combined penalty minutes for both teams.
Wow. That's impressive. You got to work hard for that stat.
I would. That is one of my favorite games I would ever love to play in. Because
for you.
See that? Exactly. That's why I like hockey, because you could just
hit people.
Keep getting fouls, and you're not ever gonna get kicked out of the game unless you smack someone upside the head with your stick or something.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd say you'd be a pretty good hockey player, Sam.
Yeah, thank you, thank you very much.
First player ever to take off a skate and try to stab someone.
So the interesting, yeah, you know, I get a little dirty out in the field.
Gilmore sometimes. Reference.
Mm-hmm. So the Blue Jackets coach, though. Todd Richards.
Punk.
He thinks something else happened during the game that he didn't like, and that's why the Columbus Blue Jackets got mad. Well, basically, what he said what happened was...
And what was that?
Derek Dorsett was coming down the ice, and a water bottle apparently was squirted on him.
Ooh.
From the San Jose bench.
Ooh.
Big bad water. Water's gonna get you. It's like, are you kidding, dude? Water, like, I probably wouldn't even mind if someone threw. It was like, oh, refreshing.
It'd just,
like,
it'd be the principle, you know. That's what that dude.
I guess it
off
is.
About,
I guess it is. But,
yeah, still though, water. Come on, bro.
And especially if it's like a 6-0 game, like, show some class. I guess, you know.
Yeah. Or not, either way.
Or not. Or it's just like, stop being a baby back. Beep.
Yeah, exactly.
So exactly. Dorsett had a nice couple roundabouts with about 3 minutes to go in the third period when he cross-hacked Colin White near the Sharks' blue line. And then they squared off and fought. Colin White and Derek Dorsett. And then Justin Braun and Feeder Tyutin fought also. Dan Boyle,
dude, Boyle
started wailing.
There's a wailing on this dude.
On this poor fool. Dan Boyle's like a century old, too. You have to realize, this was his... Shout out to Dan Boyle. This was his 800th career game.
Yep.
So shout out to him. That's
definitely,
impressive.
That's impressive, definitely.
But, I mean, I guess he comes in the game going, 800? I'm about to make this epic, because I don't know if I'm going to make it to 900.
I mean,
like,
it was... Most fights, you know, most hockey fights you see are like... Both guys got the, you know, got the other dude by the jersey. And, it's
and they're
like,
both wailing. You know, they're both going at each other.
But no one's getting that clean of hits, you know. Boyle just got this guy just bam, bam. He just, wow.
Giving it to him.
Yeah.
Giving it to him. And
killed
then
him.
And then there was another person. Who was it?
It was, oh, my gosh.
Damn. We forgot. Wow. Well,
We'll figure that out and let you know, because another person was just wailing on some fool. Oh my god.
I wish I was in that game.
Brian,
I know you do. You do some serious work in that game.
I mean, at the end of the game, there was so much debris on the ice because of like helmets and gloves from people fighting. It's ridiculous.
What a game. Who was that?
McWhite. That was McWhite.
That was White.
Yeah, that was White. Not McWhite. White. Yeah, White. Yeah. So that's this fight that we already talked about. Yeah. But yeah, that was crazy game. Loved it. And it's good you know those fights feel so much better when you're winning 6-0.
Yeah, I know, exactly. If this game was 6-0,
if you're losing
6-0,
you're going to be heated.
Yeah. We want a rematch with Columbus right now, you know?
Mm.
But
anyway. And great news, San Jose Sharks are in first place.
First place.
So although we have struggled offensively, we are in first place by 2 points ahead of the Los Angeles Queens.
Los Angeles Queens.
Our record is 28-14-6. We have 62 points.
Six overtime losses.
That's the third number is overtime losses, and that's what they count in hockey. So it's 62 points, and the Los Angeles Queens in second place with 60 points. It's actually the Kings, but I'm just saying Queens because I don't like them.
Yep.
The Sharks play the Dallas Stars tonight, also at 7:30.
7:30, Dallas Stars. That's also a really good rivalry.
I feel like that's an even bigger rivalry than the Kings.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's gonna be a great hockey game tonight. Yeah. If anyone, you know, if you got a chance to tune into that, I'd do it.
And you know the Warriors are going to be pumped because they just had an amazing practice. You see how I just kind of slid it right into the next topic?
What was that?
Because the practice after that 6-0 win against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
The Sharks.
What did I say?
You said the Warriors.
The Warriors? Yeah. Oh, geez. The Sharks, I mean.
Got the Warriors on your mind.
It was difficult to determine who was having more fun last practice. Was it the Sharks or was it their guest that was playing? Now, can you guess who their guest was, Brian?
Was it something Morgan? Yes. Nihar Morgan? Something?
It's actually pronounced Niger Morgan. Niger Morgan. The center fielder for the Milwaukee Brewers.
What's up with all these guys thinking they could play other sports, you know?
I don't know. I think, didn't Ocho Cinco start that with all that?
I can run faster than a horse. No, I mean, okay, Michael Jordan played baseball.
Okay.
What's his name?
No, we could go even farther back,
Deion,
man.
Played baseball.
Yeah, Bo Jackson. Like, we could just keep naming names. Yeah. So, anyway, Niger Morgan, the center fielder for the Milwaukee Brewers, who is a East San Jose native. He's a Bay Area native who says, quote, unquote, in an interview but after the practice,
quote, unquote,
I bleed teal till I die.
Wow.
That's he awesome. Bleeds teal, bro. That's pretty awesome. Dope, huh?
That is dope.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's cool, though.
You always like to see, like, players from that, you know, like, when guys really care about this, you know, it's cool to see that, you know?
And you like you saw him on, I guess, they interviewed Joe Thorne about Niger, and he was like, not Joe Thorne, they interviewed Ryan Clough about it.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, so how do you think he played? And Clough just looked at everyone, and he's like, I mean, he has the swagger. I mean, he has the personality. Like, all the Sharks players weren't going to say, like, he sucked.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously.
But, yeah. But, I mean, they let him do, like, four breakaway goals against the Thomas Greiss, the backup goalie.
Oh, really?
And I guess he scored one. Greiss let him score. But,
yeah, of course.
I mean, it was funny because. Yeah. But it's Niger like Morgan, if you see the video, you should see the video. Grin from ear to ear, just having the time of his life. It was good to see.
That's awesome. Like, it was really good to see. Candy shop.
It really was.
That's cool.
It was cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, you guys definitely should see it because.
Yeah, check it out.
And then Niger Morgan, he wore a black number 2 Sharks jersey because number 2 is his Milwaukee Brewers.
Yep.
And he said Owen Nolan was his favorite Shark while growing
Owen
up.
Owen Nolan.
You remember Owen Nolan?
That's throwback, yeah.
That team was my favorite. Owen Nolan, Mike Ricci, those two.
Mike Ricci.
Mike Ricci. That, yep. I mean, He looked like he always reminded me of Nightmare
Jeremy
on Elm Street.
Roenick, there, yeah, oh yeah,
Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah,
that dude was crazy. Long hair, flowing.
Oh, it was great.
That dude was a man.
It was great. Well, Brian.
Yeah, Sammy.
Did you look at the time?
I know it's getting about that time.
I know
it is.
Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time here at the Power Hour.
But
we will see you next week.
I will.
Will you be here next week?
I'll be here next week.
Thank you.
Doing it live.
Can't wait.
Yep.
Can't wait. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week. We will see you next Thursday night. Love you. This is DJ Sam I Am and Nooch at radio.dominican.edu. You just had a session of the Power Hour.
Scarf.
Imagine the God she could care less, fastidious and precise.
She's a killer queen.